Welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. Hello, this is Dr. Steve Nurse, and this is our series on Vietnam. Vietnam War was something that many of the young people now don't even remember. In some respects, I was born in 1948, and I remember, my father talking about World War II, and now kids that are fairly young don't have an idea of what happened at the war in Vietnam. And I think just even logistically, if you think about it, the first big movement of people, of troops to Vietnam, was about 50,000 people, 50,000 troops. Now, if you think that that's maybe about the size of Yakima, and taking a whole town, moving it across an ocean, and setting it up. The second big movement after Johnson got in as president was in, I think, 68, and there were 225,000 troops that moved into Vietnam. And even our historian, Bruce Hallman, mentioned to us that there were 11 factories that produced ice cream for the troops that were set up in Vietnam. I mean, you basically set up a major large city, and of course it was in a variety of different bases and places. But I think that's, if you think about that and how much that would take, it's pretty daunting. Let's talk to Roy Bumgardner a little bit more. He talked to us earlier in our last episode with George Nelson, and I know George has got a few other things to say. I think he's a good interviewer because all I have to do is just give him a theme, and then he goes with it. So that's good. So, Roy, did you enlist, or were you drafted?
No, I enlisted. I joined the reserves when I was in high school.
Oh, really? Yeah. And where did you go to high school?
Burbank, Washington.
So Burbank, Washington.
In my Tri-Cities.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and a small school, but when I got out of high school, I was like George, I hadn't had no aptitude for college. It was kind of a waste of time to send me there. So I decided I needed a trade, and I enjoyed electronics, electrical work. So I joined the Navy with that goal in mind to come out of there with a trade.
I always thought it was kind of interesting to the Tri-Cities. I think there's some controversy about it now, but we played Richland. I was in Ellensburg. We played the Richland basketball and football teams, and they were the Richland Bombers, I think. And their little mascot thing was a kind of a mushroom cloud or something. I don't know, but I'm sure it's not politically correct now. And
well, that was a Hanford area.
Yeah, so that was a Hanford area.
They built a lot of
stuff. I would think it would probably be a pretty conservative area, too, at that time, just simply because so many people were involved in that area and, producing those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so you enlisted. How did your family feel about that?
They were supportive. I didn't have any real negative feelings from that. I was raised as a farmer, myself, and we had, like you say, conservative and values where I got relatives all the way back to the Black Hawk Wars, And so we've always served in the military, you know, we've always done our part if we could.
Yeah, and I think that there's, you know, like George was saying earlier, there's really something to say about a, you know, a farm community. You know, I just think it, and maybe a little bit even like Vashon, you know, you've got a, kind of a, you know, when I lived in the Seattle area, I hardly, I might have known one or two of my neighbors, you know. And here on Vashon, if I, you know, I try to camouflage myself when I go to Thriftway so that I can get out of there in a 3-hour time period, you know. But that's good. And so did you, you got most of your training then in the United States, or did you go to Vietnam and do the training there?
No, I did it when I was ship's company, electrician's mate, and got my what you call it, correspondence school training, and plus on the job training as a, you know, as an electrician. And I really, you know, appreciate the military for, you know, giving me that opportunity to learn a trade.
You know, I've heard that from, you know, many people that didn't really know what they were going to do and got into the military and actually got a trade out of it. In fact, I can think of my fellow graduates that that were in Vietnam. A lot of them got trades there. One worked on the large jets, the F-4 jets, and worked on the, especially was working on the autopilots. I knew two of my friends worked on repaired helicopters, and they went to work for Bell Helicopter in Texas afterwards. I thought it was always interesting that they said that after they repaired the helicopters, the pilots made them go up with them for the test run, you know, so that you got it.
Make sure it holds together.
That's right. Yeah. If it starts vibrating really bad, then you know, you want to go right back down. So then you, then you trained to work. So was it kind of a general electrical degree, and then you went to work on these boats, or
anything? You know, we had the had generators on board the ships, and the electrical systems we had, these guys had on the Swift boats. I was also certified as a boat engineer when I was, when they were getting ready to send us over. They sent us to Cordova over there, and they had a Swift boat school over there. They sent us over there to learn how to put, take a diesel engine apart and, you know, and put it back together. And most of the time it ran, but it was, we were talking about when, you know, the opportunities for kids to, you know, to get a career. I'm involved with the VFW, and as a, and that's, we sponsor the Boy Scouts on the island. And I get lots of, you know, requests, you know, to help them with their little their Eagle projects and this type of thing. And one of the latest one here was about 2 years ago. One of the boys was making a project, and he needed some woodworking tools and stuff. So we spent a lot of time together out in the shop, you know, getting, helping him out and showing him how to use a router with, and still keep all of his fingers.
Yes.
But he was within, you know, a couple months of graduating from high school, and he was talking about wanting to go in the Rangers, you know. And I talked to him. I says, you know, if you're going to go in the service, I says, make it work for you, you know, take this opportunity, because they're going to, you know, spend a lot of money going, sending you to school if you want that. That's what you want to do. And He's in the medical section now, and he says, yeah, he says, you know, the old men make some sense sometimes. You have to listen to
them. Well, that's good, yeah. Yeah. You don't make sense when you have kids.
No.
It's after the kids, they say, then, you know, Dad, I realize that you weren't totally brainless at that time in your life. And so then you would, now, were you kind of at a base where the boats came back into, or did you go out to the boats, or how did that work?
No, we went with the boats. We were a converted LST, like I say, that's what we came over on. And it was set up as a repair ship. And we used to go out. There was three of us. There was two barrack ships and our repair ship, and then all the little swift boats that would follow us and up the river. And he was talking about Cambodia. We came within 3 miles of Cambodia at one time, just going up the river there.
And so you were out in the middle of the stuff just as much as the swift boats. I mean, with,
yeah, we were there with them. Like I say, we were a kind of a base for them. You know, they had the two barrack ships where the guys could come in and get some hot food and shower and, you know, be able to relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But and then we would patch up the little boats, whatever they had problems with, it was one of the stories that went around was they brought in one of those small swift boats that had been, you know, pretty well chewed up, and they were planning on just sinking it somewhere, but we had time, so we took it apart and put it back together, and put it back in service, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. You've got to know somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
that's for sure. That's for sure. Did you ever get in a situation where you were really pretty concerned, or
I don't think I. You know, when you first got over there, you know, you were a little bit apprehensive,
a little leery about
about things. But after you've been there for a while, you get kind of I guess you'd call it numb, George. You just kind of.
If it don't hurt, they weren't close.
Yeah. You just you didn't worry about it. You just went ahead and did your job.
Yeah. Now explain to me. I think George mentioned this to me that. And this really was kind of a shock. Well, I don't know if it's a shocker, but you know, that we think of the Mekong as just this, you know, giant, you know, river and delta like the Mississippi, mm-hmm. And yet, George, you were saying that there are some of these little tributaries and kind of almost like streams that you went up that you were almost touching the sides on both. Both sides of the boat when you'd go up. So that must have been one of the reasons that you had your bathtub bottom on your boat there.
Right. You would go just about any kind of depth of water. And you were talking about the swift boats, the fiberglass ones we had there at first. I saw one of those guys take off across a rice paddy one time with about 3 or 4 inches of water. You know, he just jumped up there and just took off across the rice paddy with it.
Wow. Wow.
They were a jet drive, so they had their...
So some were jet drive and some were prop?
Yeah.
Okay, and the one that you were on, George, was had props.
Yeah, we had 2 12E71 Jimmies and shafts, propellers, and 2 rudders. So I spent time checking them because we had some people that like going the wrong side of a fish trap, and that means it wound the line up in the wheel. So at first I didn't have anything, so take a butcher knife and go cut so we could run it because it stopped the engine. And finally somebody found a mask. Boy, that was heaven. So I was down there a few times.
Oh, yeah. You mean a fish or
a scuba swim mask,
oh, okay.
Scuba mask, whatever.
Okay, yeah, it looked like the water was pretty pretty dark.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good chocolate colored, yeah.
Yeah. And also, George, there was one thing you wanted to mention, and I wanted to make sure I gave you time for that.
Well, the first thing is I just want to thank you, gentlemen, for all the time and effort you've done for us. It means an awful lot to us, an awful lot. The other thing is, what I'm saying, we're saying, it's just experiences. We're doing this, at least I'm doing it, for the Vashon 12. They're very close to me, and it hurt a lot. Don Hokey was, we fished together in Alaska and on and on, and then they got him. So anyway, this is for the 12, the veterans, and most of all for the kids. I hope they listened and see a little reality in it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I think that you know, it's kind of interesting. I graduated in that 1966 group, and I didn't go into the service. And in some respects, I've kind of felt guilty that I didn't. And yet every serviceman that I've talked to said, you know, you shouldn't feel guilty. You know,
very important.
We did what we, you know, everybody did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I think that I also found it interesting that, you know, while the pictures that I've seen that you've shown and that Chris has, and is that they just these young guys that are, you know, smiling and having a good, I mean, not that I don't mean to say, you know, they're at a party, but, you know, if you can't smile about some stuff, if you can't enjoy some stuff, and I think every day is a blessing. That's really for sure. And when you came back, Roy, did you you come back to the Tri-Cities?
Yeah, I came back to the Tri-Cities. I spent a little bit of time. I worked for the railroad before I went into the service, and when I came back, I worked there about 6 months and decided I really wanted to get. I was, you know, antsy. It wasn't comfortable. You know, just doing the same thing all the time, and so I moved over here then I got the urge to do something else, and I did a couple tours with the Peace Corps,
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it took me a while to settle down.
Where did you go with the Peace Corps?
Well, I spent 2 years in Zaire,
and
that was 71, I think it was, and then I came home for a couple of years, and then I went over to Oman, Arabia for 2 years. It was something, you know, it's like, you know, when George and I are talking about, you know, we had a camaraderie with the guys that we were there. And we came home, we were looking for something, you know, and we weren't really finding what we're looking for. So, you know, you'd look for something with, you know, a little bit, something that would interest you, you know, something that was, and I just kind of dropped into the deal with the Peace Corps. I saw the ad, and I had to fill out I think it must have been 6 inches of paperwork. You know, they go
sure. Well, that's the federal government.
They go all the way. They wanted my elementary school teachers' names and all this stuff. You know, and I go, wait a minute, I had to call my mother up and find out most of this information. You know,
and just let me tell you, next year your taxes will be a lot easier to fill out. Yes. Yes. I know what you mean. It's like you have to pull up stuff that you never did before. And I think I really appreciate what George said, too. The one thing that I can do is kind of a payback is to do this series. And I think for me, I've learned so much. I picked a really good year to do it called quarantine COVID-19, you know. And so it's been good to do that, and it's kept my mind active. And I've just talked to so many people. Some want to talk about it, some don't want to talk about it. You know, some have said you can use quotes from me, but I don't want to be on the radio. And so I think that's really, really critical. So if you had, do any of your, each one of you have kids, correct?
I got a daughter, yeah.
Okay.
She's 38 now, and I got a granddaughter, too, so.
Okay, I have a daughter who is 43 and one that's 40, and as I said, my youngest daughter, her boyfriend, I found out her boyfriend's father was a Vietnam vet. Uh-huh. And was a conscientious objector. And like I was telling George, that after he was a conscientious objector with a 45, I think he said he had leaders decided that he needed to carry a rifle too. Just to, and so I guess he got an old hold a Russian carbine someplace that they found that he carried around. And George, you have kids too?
I have a son and a great grandson.
Well, all grandsons are greater.
This one's greater because he likes tractors.
Yeah. If he likes tractors, that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
He has his own.
Uh-huh.
Brand new 1946 farm all H.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good. And what would you tell your grandson or your would you tell him to go into the military?
I told my son it's the best bet because school wasn't his greatest experience, but he worked with disabled kids and helped the teacher, so I taught him an awful lot there, but he couldn't get into the military because of type 2 diabetes.
Uh-huh.
He came down with when he was 12, I think. Uh-huh. But his good friend went in. He's more than 10 years now, and he's doing a lot of fun things.
And I think that's something also that we need to mention now is that, it used to be when I was younger that if you were really smart, you went to a four-year college. If you were kind of smart, you went to a community college. And if you weren't so smart at all, you went to a vocational school. Mm-hmm. And now, if you look at the kind of reading and mathematics, chemistry, those kinds of skills that you need for vocational school, I mean, it's as rigorous as any four-year college. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was looking at a book that one of my friend's sons was looking at about to do with refrigeration and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, and the military can pay for a lot of good training through the GI Bill, and those things still apply. Anything else you'd like to say in closing? George, you've got to have something.
Always have something to say.
I just hope
you've already thanked me for the wonderful job I'm doing.
I know you're wonderful.
You know, if you want to do that again, we can.
Became wonderful when you gave me the directions to your house.
Oh, good.
I don't know one number road from another, but if the cemetery road and the dump
now, road,
those are definitely marked in my mind.
Yeah, or the. What used to be Sound Food, you take a left at Sound Food, Sound Food, or
Landy's Corner, Jack's Market, they're all.
Yeah. The post office. And, of course, the Thriftway, where everybody goes.
Yeah, we watched Bill Muncy cut the ribbon when they opened it.
Really?
We rode our bikes up there, and
All right, Bill Muncy, and he died in a hydroplane race in Mexico.
Yeah. And Kimmel's. Jim Kimmel was in my class, so that was on the corner where the flowers are. And then when they built that brand new store, and I found out later that was perfect because it was a big pond, and that's where you skip school and went skinny dipping if you had the chance. So.
Yeah, and I think I think that's the wonderful thing about Vashon, and that's why I hope a lot of people realize that there are a tremendous number of veterans on this island. We certainly think about the 12, no question, because they sacrificed the ultimate. Mm-hmm. But there's also those that came back with injuries. I have friends that came back one of my friends, Gary Scott, was on a Huey, and they would go in after battles and, pick up body bags. Mm-hmm. And he came back to town and just didn't make it. He's a wonderful guy. I ran around with him. I'd love to find him, love to help him. But, mm-hmm. My brother-in-law was never in Vietnam, but he was in Okinawa. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen him in 20 years. And I think it's very much related to even those kinds of experiences and things that he did there. So,
We have that problem with a lot of guys who don't really, you know, that my age, George, and you come, you don't want to really, you know, talk about it that much because you're talking to people who don't have never had that kind of experience, and they don't.
Very good point.
They don't understand what you're trying to tell them. Right now, I'm involved with it's Vashon Veterans Retreat Center up here, where the old Granite used to be.
Right, I was just up there with Chris Gaynor.
Yeah,
and I met Mike, and Mike's going to be on that. We're going to interview Mike next week,
and he's certainly going.
And he has some opinions on things.
Oh yeah, Mike always has opinions on things.
Yes,
he'll get him going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
we've been helping a lot of guys come in and try to get, you know, that have been run into the barricade of forms and paperwork through the VA, and so we try to get these guys, you know, work with them and get their paperwork and get, if they got disabilities coming, try to get them helped out.
And isn't that what's his name, Doug Kiefer?
Doug Kiefer does a lot, yeah,
right,
yeah.
That kind of stuff,
right.
And I think, again, that's what we need to do in our community. We really need to,
mm-hmm.
we really need to help people like that and show them the way. And I know that that center, they've got woodworking equipment and mm-hmm. And all of that. So that's also extremely important.
Yeah, I haven't got the intellectual background to do all the paperwork. I get kind of frustrated with it myself, but they. I try to do what I can. If we got guys that come in and haven't got their medical or nothing else, I'll drive them up to anybody who needs it. I'll drive them up to the hospital and get them enrolled and get their benefits going.
Yeah, yeah. And it takes a lot to work through those things.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, and
like you're talking about, if you're any time you're working with the government, you got a stack of paperwork that high, you know, and 6 inches.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. And Social Security and mm-hmm. GI Bill. And George, tell me what you're going to do after you leave here today.
Go relax.
All right.
I build models, so it's there. The yard's still there. I'm building an old pickup out in the garage. And plenty to do. Toys that are.
Are these the kind of models that go down the runway, or are they?
I'm the marine environment. I couldn't get. I couldn't catch any. You know what I found out?
What's that?
The older you get, when you start chasing those girls, the smaller they get.
Yes.
That's all I know. No, relax. You know, you almost live. On the preface that if they weren't there, they don't understand. So we try to inform.
I think that's really a good point. And there are so many of those, you know, it's like when people say, oh, I know how, I know how you feel. They always tell me, I was in a wheelchair once for 2 days. Well, yeah. I've been in it for 50 years, you know. Yeah. What I really like is when they say to me, I've got a cousin that lives in Boise, Idaho. He's in a wheelchair. Yeah. You may know him.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know everybody else, you know, and I feel like saying, yeah, I know him. And boy, he is really a bum. So, but I think that, you know, you can't put yourself, that's why this is needed. You can't put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Mm-hmm. You can have some empathy. You can have some understanding, but no one can relate to you what it's like to be on that boat.
Didn't you say 2.7?
Yeah.
I think there's 600 or less thousand left of us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good attrition.
How many did you still keep in contact with people on your
boat? My best friend in Beckley, West by God, Virginia, I lost last year.
Oh, boy.
But I still talk to two of my officers. One's a lawyer in Boston, and Mr. House is in Charleston, North Carolina.
Well, that's good. We've still got those things, and I think at that point, we need to cut her off, and we'll look forward to hearing you on the real radio and when we run these things. Thank you very much, Roy. Thank you very much, George. It's been a pleasure.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.